Good morning.
Hey, I got a response.
I'm in Matthew this morning. Chapter 14. For some reason, I'm really nervous about this one, so that could be scary for you. I don't know. Sometimes God gives me a tough word, and then... But anyway, just don't let that scare you. It's good. It's good. I'm going to start with prayer, if you don't mind. Father God, I praise you and thank you, and I glorify you for who you are, for how much you care about us and how much you do for us. God, I'm amazed at your wonder and your awesome power. And that in all of that, you still choose and care to be a part of something like this, where we get together. So thank you, God. As we look at your word this morning, I ask, Father, that your spirit would begin to speak right to the spirits of every person here, to our hearts. God, beyond our ears, because sometimes those can ignore, but to our hearts, where something we can't ignore. Father, would the words be yours and not mine, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Matthew, as I said, chapter 14. I want to talk to you this morning about a story you're probably familiar with. And God takes me there sometimes. Actually, most times when I preach, God will take me to a passage, and I'll look at a story that I've heard so many times, or we've heard so many times, and God will start showing me things in there that we're always overlooking because we're concerned about a certain thing that's always there. And then God says, well, see this bit right here. And I'm like, wow. And so then I get a chance to talk about it. I'm reading from Matthew's account. The story is in other Gospels, but I'm reading Matthew's. And there's a few things here that get our attention, get my attention anyway. And I'm going to share them with you so they'll get your attention too. But we often see this story. It's the story of Peter, and he walks on the water, and Jesus walks on the water. It's that whole interchange, and Jesus comes to them, and Peter walks on the water. And we always hear this story in the context of doubt and how Peter doubts and sinks and fails. And we see this in the context of his weakness, and we're always hearing about how we need to trust in Jesus and keep our eyes on Jesus. And all of that is good. I'm not here to tell you that those sermons were wrong. No, we got to trust in Jesus. You got to keep your focus on him. You got to let him allow you to do things that you shouldn't be able to do on your own. That's all good stuff. But I'm not there this morning. You've heard that before. I want to take a different look, not at how he failed, not at how he doubted, not at how he sank in the water. I want to take a look at other aspects of this story. My title for this morning, it didn't get in the bulletin because when Carol was making the bulletin, she asked, and I said, I don't have a title yet. That's usually the last thing that comes. I get the text, and then I get the points, and then maybe I get a title. Sometimes I don't tell you a title because I couldn't think of anything clever. So my title for this morning is, He's Still God. He's Still God. The church today needs to better grasp Jesus' influence in our lives in order to adequately respond and find the true freedom that is supposed to belong to those who believe. We sang about freedom this morning. We can't have that freedom. We can't discover that freedom if we don't understand the person of Jesus and the person of God, the person that is God in its entirety. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Because where the Spirit is, God is. And so I'm there this morning. These things that I'm going to say, they're generalizations, they're principles, they're broader, and apply them how you will. But they are so amazing that I wrote it in an hour. I got them. I was sitting there thinking about it for a long time. I didn't. You guys are like, he wrote his sermon in an hour? It's going to be Anyway, I sat down after thinking about it. I had a You know I drive a school bus. If you don't know that, I do. On Thursday, I was driving to Hazleton, and I love driving because I can think while I drive. No one talks to me when I drive on a school bus. They think that I'm untouchable. So I drive down the road, and I'm thinking about this sermon. I'm thinking, okay, I get them to their spot in Hazleton, and they do their thing, and I just sit on the bus alone for 3 hours, and what a great time to study. So I'm sitting there, I got nothing else to do. I mean, I can't leave, so great. I'm going to utilize the time to my benefit. And I'm sitting there reading, and God's challenging me. This is this here, this is here, this is here, this is here. I'm saying, wow, it was there all along. If you're reading the Word every day, by the way, you're going to have a lot of those experiences. There's a reason why we are instructed to read every day. Because I've told people this before, you can read something one day and it'll mean nothing to you. And then you get to another season in life and that same word will impact you like nothing else. And I'm telling you, anyway, so I'm reading this, wow, it was there all along. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't have my computer here. I don't even have a notebook here. I just have my phone. And my phone's dying, so I'm not going to take all my notes on my phone. I'm like, Lord, help me not to forget what you've just showed me. And so driving home, then later that evening, I come into the office here, and I typed it in an hour, all out on the paper. And then I came in on Saturday and tweaked it so that it didn't look like it just went all over the paper. And so it was beautiful. It's amazing what God is going to say. He's already said it to me. The first thing I want to say is this. I know the first thing I want to do is read. Sorry. A little slow. All right, we're going to read Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." First thing. Point number one. Jesus sent them into their storm. Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. Jesus sent them into the storm. He's just finished feeding the 5,000, as the heading says, the 5,000 men. He's just finished feeding the 5,000. He's just finished doing this amazing thing. And he says, "You guys need to get in the boat." If I was the disciple, I'm like, why is he in such a hurry? It's like the morning. You know, get in the boat. You got to go to the other side. Jesus puts them in the boat. You got to go to the other side. And Jesus sends them, and away they go. I have a hard time thinking that Jesus was confused at this time and not aware. I have a hard time thinking that, knowing who Jesus is, he had to have some inkling of what was about to happen. Jesus sent them. Jesus directed them in a way that would bring them to the storm. It wasn't happenstance that brought them to this moment. Jesus, with haste, sent them and took care of closing up church on the beach. Okay, we just fed them all, and you guys get in the boat, you go. I'll send everybody away. Jesus sent them, and away they go. They've, at this point, they've learned to trust Jesus. It's all good. He sends them on a boat, whatever. He told them to cast their nets on the other side. That worked, so he sent them on a boat. We'll go. So they're gone, and Jesus sends them away. He sends them into their storm. He sent them to the other side. And to draw this home, and by the way, my sermon is not going to be proper. So if you're grading me, don't. My application is going to be tied right into every point. See, Jesus will sometimes send us into the storm. And if you have a problem with that, it might be more because you haven't gotten to know him very well yet. And the other two points I'm going to bring to you this morning will help you understand why that's okay. But Jesus is going to send us into storms. He'll repeatedly send us in directions that are going to make things difficult. Here's why. Because nothing can happen, no change can occur unless there's something that disrupts what's going on now. I told the youth when Wednesday, I said, change has to happen. If change never happened, we'd all still be in diapers. Change has to occur. That's the most simple way. We all grow up. We constantly change. Presently, whether you would like it or not, you are changing. Your body is changing. Everything is changing. And we have to go through the change. It is only in areas outside of the physical realm that we have an issue with change. We understand growing. It makes sense. You know, maybe we don't want the hair to go gray, but we get it. It happens. We don't have, you know, like, no. Some of us really fight to keep it not from doing that. But we understand this is the way it is. Fine. But when it comes to matters of life, when it comes to the seasons of life that we're living in, when it comes to relationships and people and church and working in the community, when it comes to, we don't want change. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to go through this storm. If Jesus said, get into the boat, you're going to go through a storm, and I'll see you on the other side, they were like, no, we're going to stay here. He just said, get in the boat and go. All right. And when they're in the storm, they're probably thinking, man, we shouldn't have done this. Some of them were fishermen. They should have known that something was coming, unless it was, anyway, we won't get into that. Jesus sent them into their storm. I've heard it said this way about leadership, that you aren't going to get to the next level. You aren't going to climb to a new place in leadership. You aren't going to climb to a new place in the church and in the life with God. You aren't going to get there until you're ready to handle the struggles that are there. And so we have to go through the struggles now at this level, so when we get to that level, those struggles, we got them. I loved that concept that we're not ready for life on the next level until we can go through the struggle here. And yet we want, oh God, take me deeper, bring me into a new relationship, you know, revive me, whatever. We have all these prayers about going deeper, getting stronger in our relationship with God, making our church grow, making our ministry more effective. More. We want more, but we don't want the change. We want more, but we don't want to have to go through the storm. God, get me there somehow without the storm business. We want an elevator to take us to the next level. We don't want to climb the stairs. Jesus sends us into the storm sometimes, and that's okay. Just be careful when you're praying, because you might be asking for that. I prayed once to be taught patience. He did. I prayed once for provision, and he gave me another job. God is good. I mean, you can even look in your own practical life, in your own realm. You got to go through a work day. You got to go through a work week. Sunday to Sunday. You got quite a few days in there. Some of those days are going to be a storm. If you really don't like your job, probably all of those days are going to be a storm. But that's what God does. That's where God takes us. He's put us where we are. Accept that you are where you are. You know, God is so amazing that even if we aren't in the right place, He's still working with it. Oh, you're not in the right job. That's not what I called you to do. You're supposed to be in full-time ministry, but you're wasting your time making money because that's more important to you. But I'm going to work with what you have to get you where I need you, because that's how God is. Jesus will send you into your storm. Sometimes we help him along, but he'll send you there himself. And not always. Jesus doesn't always send you in your storm. I want to say that because some storms we go through in life, some struggles, some trials are totally self-inflicted. It's all us. We're just throwing a tantrum. And he's like, come on. But God does do that. We're totally delusional to think that God is sitting there be like, oh, they're in another storm. How are we going to work this one out? No, sometimes he puts us there. Go ahead, go into a storm. Go ahead. It's going to be all right. But here's why it's going to be all right. Second point. Jesus came to them in their storm. Oh. Yeah, like my youth. It's maybe because I don't explain all of my points. It's exciting in me, but I say it at youth, I'm like, man, this is good. And they're like, we had a good one on Wednesday, and I was having a hard time communicating my joy. Like, this is exciting. Really? So Jesus came to them in their storm. It says that he comes to them walking on the water. He comes to them in a way that in the natural realm, it's not possible. Nothing should cause them to doubt who this is, because in that moment, there ain't no way anybody's walking on that water. The last time they checked, this was water. And walking, this got, but they're frightful. Their first reaction is, what is this? It's a ghost. That's what they say. It's a ghost. When we get so focused on the struggle, on the problem, on the immediate present issue, when we get so focused on the water, on the storm, on having to row a little harder, on having to bail out water, whatever, when we get so focused on the situation, Jesus will be like a ghost. Hear me, when we get so focused on the problem, we won't recognize when our Savior shows up. Our first reaction will be, it's scary. What's going on? Oh, Jesus is coming. He doesn't wait for the storm to end. He comes to them in the storm. Oh, got a shock. I thought that said 11:45. Whew. I'm like, wow. He came to them in the storm. Jesus isn't afraid of the storms. Sometimes we think we're all alone. Sometimes we think that he's still up on the mountain praying alone. Sometimes we don't realize what's going on. And Jesus is right there and we're afraid because that don't look like nothing we've ever seen before. Jesus came to them. Jesus will come to you. He'll come to you in your storm. If your focus is where it's supposed to be in the storm, it won't be like, what's going on? No, you'll be like, there he is. There's Jesus. It's tough. It's hard. When we're in the storm, the only thing we're usually focused on is the storm itself, getting out, survival. We don't even see Jesus when he comes in. The response of the disciples tells you a lot about where their focus was, and they don't recognize their Savior because of the situation. When we take our focus off of God, we don't recognize him when he shows up in our struggle. Partly this too, when we expect God to save us, we expect him to save us in a certain way. When I expected God to provide, I did not expect another job. And yet I knew that would work, but I couldn't figure out a way to make a job fit into my busy life. God did. He figured out a way. When I needed something, I had it in my mind how it could go. Problem with me is I have a very creative imagination, and so when the Bible says that he'll do above what we can imagine, I'm like, I can imagine some pretty insane things. I mean, I have no problem imagining the impossible. It's fun to imagine things that can't happen. But then I'm like, well, am I limiting God? No, I'm just kidding. But I always worry because my imagination goes wild. God above what I can imagine? Oh boy. He has a way, and he will find a way to make it work. And it won't be your way. It won't be your way. Almost never. Because usually our way is so temporal, so focused on now. His way is almost always, it's focused eternally because God isn't stuck with now. He's looking at your now in the context of everybody else's now, looking at all of life and saying, well, your now is no big deal. Your now is going to shape that over there, your future. So it's all good. You go through it right now. This storm is essential to making you the person I need you to be over there. What calms, this is another good one. What calms them in this moment is when Jesus speaks. In the last two Wednesdays at youth, we've been talking about the power of when Jesus speaks. We talked about how when God speaks, something happens. The first story two Wednesdays ago was in Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, and they're complaining about God, and not God, they're complaining about everything that's happened in Jerusalem and how they don't think that this is how the Savior is supposed to go, and they thought Jesus was the Savior. They're complaining to Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. I like it when we do that. We complain, and he's like, well. Then Jesus speaks into their situation, begins to open the word to them and show them. Jesus speaks, and it fully changes their focus. When Jesus speaks, the second way we talked about it was last Wednesday. We talked about creation, how in the beginning God spoke. The power of God speaking and how everything in his vicinity had to respond to his voice. What brings them initial comfort, though not complete comfort because they're still in the storm rocking on the water, but brings them a little bit of peace is when he says, I don't want to misquote it. Do not be afraid. I don't know how I was going to get that wrong. Do not be afraid. Take heart, it is I, he says. Do not be afraid. He comes and says, hey, it's okay. It's me. When Jesus comes into our situation, sure, we might not recognize it right away. We might have an issue. What's going on? Who is this guy? And Jesus comes in and says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. The storm hasn't ended yet. They just now know that Jesus is physically with them in the storm. And that brings us this initial peace. Full peace comes at the end of the storm. I'm not telling you that storms are fun. Full peace comes when it's over. I get it. But the initial, okay, I can ride this out, comes because Jesus is in the storm with them. I can do this. I can learn from this. Somehow this is going to shape me. Maybe I can grow, but I'm going to just ride it out because Jesus is here now. It's okay. Jesus is with me. In this moment, Peter does something radical. He asks Jesus to command him to walk on the water. If it is really you, tell me to come. And when Jesus does, I don't know what Peter's mind was thinking at that point. Like, okay, come. Just kidding. I don't know. You know, was he just testing him? Like, if it's really you, tell me to come. Okay, come. Just kidding. No, Peter gets out. We get so caught up on how he sinks and focuses on the waves, but I love the fact that he got out of the boat. You didn't get out of the boat. You were the other disciples in the boat being like, wow, that guy's nuts. Most of us are the other disciples in the boat. But like, what's going to happen? They're waiting for him to sink. You're just watching the people take the risk. They're going to sink. And Peter begins to walk. Yeah, he doubted. Fine, he sank. We've heard the messages there. He walked on the water. Church, we need to have some kind of a desire once in a while in our life with Christ to get out of the boat. We need to be okay with who Jesus is to know that when we get out of the boat, he got this. We need to be ready to move out of our comfort zone, out of what we're familiar with, out of what seems normal. Now, of course, all at the command of Jesus. I'm not telling you to just think out, you know, and that's not the same as thinking outside the box, where we get a little too crazy. I'm saying we need to have the faith that when Jesus says, come, we get out of the boat. All right, Jesus said, come. I have no idea how this is going to go. I mean, there is no faith like stepping onto something that shouldn't hold you up. But can you imagine? I can kind of imagine. Can you imagine the faith that would have risen within Peter that first step? The water's holding me. Can you imagine? That's how it is. Okay, that's how faith is. When we do that first thing and it's like, he does got me. And our focus is good and we're strong and Jesus is there. And all right, I can do this. See, Jesus will call us to do things and sometimes it's hard. I don't know how I'm ever going to do this. I don't see how God is in this moment. I don't see how this storm has anything to do with anything. Why is he telling me to get out of a boat? This boat is the only thing keeping me above the water. But as you walk in faith, as you take that first step, that encouragement, there's nothing more encouraging than when God really does what God said he's going to do. And by the way, he always does what he says he's going to do. It's usually us that gets in the way of that. And when, so that first step, he did. Yeah, I can do another step. Jesus came to them in their storm. Jesus will come to you in your storm. And in that moment, he might ask you to do something. He might say, get out of the boat. He might. Would you? If I'm being really honest with you, God's been challenging me personally about getting out of a certain boat. He's been telling me that my life in ministry is important, and that's what he's called me to. And he's challenging me to trust him. And I'm telling you that this is we're right on the brink of this. I haven't figured out what exactly he's looking at. But come June, school's over. I'm done driving. And God is challenging me not to go back. And I'm figuring out, making sure that it's him. I don't know who else it would be. You know, quit your job. That's not. But I'm making sure, where exactly he's leading me. He's asking me to step on the water. That's my primary income right now. And he's saying, step out on the water. Would you do that? Will I? I'm scared to say that I will. And I'm being honest. I know he provides. You know what the issue is? We're all right. You know what the issue is? We all believe God can. Most Christians believe God can do all kinds of things. God can provide. God can heal. God can save me from my situation. We all believe God can. You know what God challenged me with? When are you going to start believing that he will? Oh, that hurt. He was challenging. That was right to me. He said, when are you going to believe that I will? When are you going to get beyond I can? When are you going to trust him enough to know that he will? God will provide. God will see you through. God will walk with you. That one wasn't in my notes. Sorry to the translator. The third thing is this. Jesus delivered them from their storm. He delivered them from the storm. That's a part of the story. I didn't come here to tell you that he's going to lead you into storms and that's it. No, he delivered them. They got to the other side. First, he saves Peter, literally saves just Peter, because Peter doubts and falls, and we all, you know, he fell. Jesus saves him, reaches down, grabs him, and pulls him back up, and says, it's all right. Jesus saves him in that moment. And together now, because I always think about this too, he saved him and pulled him up out of the water. That means for another few moments, he had to walk on the water a little longer to get back in the boat. It's not like he just saved him and threw him in the boat. He pulls him up and they got to walk back to the boat together and get in. Jesus is a part of the picture. We can do things like walk on water. And Jesus brings him back and they get in the boat, literally saves him. But here's the beautiful thing. The moment he gets in the boat, the moment Jesus gets in the boat, the storm ceases. See, there's my excitement that you don't know about yet. The storm ceases when Jesus gets in the boat. All he does is get in. When Jesus gets in the boat. And some of you are like, well, you just told me to get out of the boat. No, no, I get it. Jesus is a part of this. Jesus said, get out, you get out. Then Jesus gets back in the boat, you get back in the boat, because that's where he is. You be where Jesus is, everything's going to go fine. You follow his leading, you keep your focus on him, you go where he's going, you listen to his voice, things are going to be okay. Jesus gets in the boat. The storm ceases, and some of us say, oh, of course, their reaction was obvious. What did they do? They worshiped him. But I think we don't do that enough. We don't do that enough. Why? Because the storms he calls us to every day are just normal. It's normal to get up and do what I do for work. It's normal to drive the same run. Normal to see the same roads, the same traffic. You drive bus long enough, you realize traffic patterns. Like, oh, I pass them every morning at this spot. And then seriously, the next day they're not there for whatever reason. You're like, am I late? No, I'm good. Anyway. Jesus calms the storm and they worship. He will calm your storm. He will. You might not like how, but he will. Maybe it's going to hurt a little. It's going to be a little painful. Something's going to have to change. Maybe you're going to come out of the storm and your boat's destroyed. But he got you out of the storm. Because he needed you to be in a different spot. He needed you to have gone through something. He needed you to be a different person. Well, storms are a good way for us to learn how to trust him. And so he brings us into the storm and he teaches us that lesson in trust. Our response needs to be worship. Worship. I heard it said about our worship, our Sunday morning worship services, that we need to change our focus. We're here to worship our Savior from everything that he's brought us through in this past week. And yet some of us come here wanting Jesus to fill us up again just so we can make it through the next week. Every day we need to be spending time with the Savior that sent us into this storm. Every day we need to be worshiping him when we get through that storm. Then when we gather here on a Sunday morning, we give him the most wonderful praise, the highest honor, glory that nothing else can match, glory that nobody else can sing better. We give him honor and glory for everything he's brought us through this past week. We say, God, thank you for Monday. Thank you for Tuesday. Thank you for Wednesday. Thank you, God, for every other day. Thank you, God, for what you brought me through. Thank you for the pain, the struggle. I'm spitting a lot. Good thing no one's up here. The pain, the struggle, the trial. Thank you, God, for bringing me through it all. When we gather here, we worship God to praise Him for what He already did, and not necessarily just to seek some kind of charge up to make it through. Every day we're spending time with the Savior who's in the storm with us. Every day. I'm gonna call the people with talent, musicians. People with talent, everybody comes up. I have talent. I hope I'm not spoiling anything, but they're singing Amazing Grace. They're singing Amazing Grace. I was so overjoyed for two reasons. When I was sitting in worship thinking, yeah, I would have sang that song. Yeah, that's a good one. Yes, that's good. I didn't tell him what I was preaching on. I just love it when God moves. I just love it when this team is just as in touch with God as I was. That sounded very arrogant. But anyway, I love it when God is a part of the whole picture. Church, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. I hope you're still singing that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You are now.
I flipped back and forth a few times.
We're going to sing Amazing Grace, and Amazing Grace that brought you through. Amazing Grace that was there, is there in the storm. Jesus will bring you through your storm. Sometimes Jesus sends, I needed to say this, sorry, I made sure I checked my notes before I say I'm done. Sometimes the reason we go into the storm is because we've lost our reason to worship. We forgot. Life is too good. Or we're just used to it. And so Jesus says, okay, here's your storm. So you can remember. Here you go. We're like, no. Just remind me. Just tell me. I'll remember. Just tell me about it. I'll remember. No, here you go. Oh. As we go into this next week, I'm trying to figure out how to wrap it up. As we go into this next week, know that God is with you. He is. If the storm you're in is something He sent you into, know that He's with you. But guess what? If the storm is something that He didn't send you into, know that He is with you. He isn't afraid of your storm. And He's going to come there with you, and He's going to walk with you and talk with you. When He speaks, He's going to change you. You're going to... And don't wait till Sunday to worship. Do it right there. You have to say it out loud, then maybe you need to tuck away from wherever you are, you know. Might not work over the mic at McDonald's drive through, but praise the Lord. I wanted a coffee. So, but just know you can worship Him, you can praise Him in any moment. I'm going to stop talking. Good, nobody got excited. And we'll let them sing. Let's sing this one.